joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
So I'm coming down to the rink today, and I look on, and some guy tweets out, "The show's been on 4 minutes, and Dutchie's run it into the road or run it off the road already."
No, I think he said, "I just ran it to the best place it's ever been."
Wow.
I must have misread that.
Misquoted.
At one point, Ray Hayes just said, "You know what? You guys win. You've defeated me." He said, "In the 10 years you've been doing this,
yeah. I've been doing radio a long time, and I've never felt more defeated than I do today. I'm done. I've got no energy to fight through it. I can't get it back on the rails. It's over now.
We made him walk. We walked Hayes.
That's a good start. That's a good start. I like that."
Yeah, it's a great attitude for people listening.
It actually was, it was an innocent topic. We were talking how children have never been named Butch. And then I don't know how it happened, but Dutchie had an uncle Butch back in Porcupine Plain.
Yeah, he was in Regina.
Oh, in Regina a long time ago. And that was on his birth certificate.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't short for something. And then he mentioned that Butch Goring was the coach, and Dutchie wanted to have a chat with him, and he walked into the coach's room, and Butch was just wearing some underwear, and he was putting some lotion on and invited So then we got chirped by a fan who said, "You guys are lizard men if you don't wear lotion," because that's how it went off the rails. Isn't that the order of business?
Basically.
Here?
Kind of.
Now, see, the only thing I can add to a guy named Butch was the guy that used to work in the dressing room in Buffalo.
The guy stirred with his arm.
Yeah, he was stirring the Gatorade with his arm when we walked in. And we're like, "Butchie, what the hell are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I'm stirring the Gatorade." We're like, "Not with your arm, man."
What was his name? Was his name Butch, too?
Yeah. His name was Butch.
That's awesome. Dude, you ever been in a gritty bar when they've got pickled eggs in there and a farmer walks in, dirt everywhere, and he opens up the lid? There's no tongs. There's not a fork. It's just that dirt arm goes in, grabs a pickled egg, a Slim Jim, gets a beer, and let's have lunch. That's the lunch special. Actually, I'll take you out sometime.
I'll be honest. I've never been in a bar where a dirty farmer walks in and grabs pickled eggs. I'll be honest.
But you've seen them.
I have seen them.
I even get grossed out when, like, in the media room here, you see guys, they've got the between periods, they've got, like, trail mix and stuff and, nachos and things. And you see some guy reach in, they've got cups there that you scoop up whatever you're going to take. And then you see some guy reaching in and he's pulling them out and eating them. And then you're putting his hand back. You're like, "Oh, seriously, buddy."
Yeah, that's not right.
That's gross.
That's not right.
It is.
No, it's really not right. It's really, really not right.
Hey, but how about those Leafs?
Segue into the Leafs.
Yeah, I mean, who are you focused on tonight, Ray? We did actually, we spent about 3 minutes talking about the game in the previous hour. And that was one of the topics of discussion. You know, outside of Freddie, who's been pulled the last two games, is there a skater that you've got the spotlight on tonight?
Well, I would say not necessarily just one. I mean, they've been blitzed the last two first periods. And so, you know, they gave up 14 shots in each period and, you know, the six goals in the two first periods. And I'm just curious, like, how it got so bad so fast. And so I don't think there's one guy that's got to be better. There's like, there's on each line, there's, I know people are missing, but there's a passenger or a guy not tugging his part of the weight. And you've got guys that are out of sync all over the place. So is there one line that can, you know, generate a lot of offense? Then I would look to me right now, it's, you know, can Nylander back up what was a really good game with another good game? Because one game once in a while is not enough. They need more from him. I think he's a better fit with Matthews than Kapanen because of his playmaking skills. And Matthews clearly is a shooting centerman more so than a playmaking centerman. And so now this is his chance. So as much as he can say, "Oh, I want a chance. I want to play with Matthews," now it's there. You know, now it's there. And so that I would say that would be more than anybody kind of, you know, as a difference maker is to see if, you know, can they be at the front of the line here tonight for the Leafs?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of Nylander and the opportunity, but you're right. He's had it the past couple of games, and he really hasn't seized it. It's not like he's been alone. No one really has played that well. But, you know, I said his line mate. I said Matthews just because of everything that he represents. You know, because of the injury he had and he missed a month, it kind of took him out of the whole MVP of the team conversation. And for the most part, it's Freddie or it's Marner or Tavares or Riley. Right. But in my opinion, Matthews is still the best player. Matthews has the ability to dominate. And we saw it on Wednesday night in the third period. That was one period, but he was a horse. Now, you can't do that every shift, and no one's going to expect that. But I think he has the ability to elevate and take over a game unlike anybody else. And he's been doing a lot of talking this week, which I think is a good sign, because if he's going to be wearing the C in the future, he's going to have to do it a lot throughout his mm-hmm. career. But at some point, I'm just going to look at him and say, let's see what you got. You know, pull a Sid 100%. And say we're not losing tonight, because I'm scoring two and I'm walking out of the building with 5 points.
I'd love to see that, Brian. Like when I think of the young guys, and, you know, it took them a few years, but the way Nathan MacKinnon just all of a sudden just pulled Colorado into the playoffs. Like, he's like, that's it. Pulled them right to the edge of it all by himself. Everybody else starts getting going along. Other guys would love to do it and can't. Matthews can, because he's good enough. He's strong enough. He's talented enough. He can be a real difference maker. O always talks about, you know, he seems to get a point a game, or, you know, it's time for an explosion. And they could mm-hmm. certainly use one. They got a team here that's desperate in Philly, right? If they're going to make it, they're going to, you know, yeah. it's got to happen now. And they're on the second night of their back-to-back, right? So this is the time that maybe you can get a jump on somebody else. Don't ease into the game. And maybe he and Nylander can be at the front of that.
You were calling that Bruins game last night, weren't you? You were in Winnipeg.
Yep.
What did you see out of Boston last night?
A team that was decimated by injury, played pretty well, and then, you know, just didn't have enough. They had six regulars out of the lineup, three defensemen and three forwards, and two of their top three wingers in Jake DeBrusk and David Pastrnak weren't there. They didn't have Marcus Johansson, who they got at the deadline. And on the blue line, they were missing Kevin Miller, Matt Greslick, and then Torrey Krug last night, too. And
man.
So you're like, man, I don't even recognize their team, yet they're good. I mean, they're right there, and they got nothing last night from Bergeron or Marchand. Nothing. Like, they had really quiet nights.
Yeah.
And so they're good. They're a good team.
No doubt about it. And they almost came back and tied that hockey game up. I like what Paul Maurice said after the game, which kind of parallels something you had said about Marner, or about Nylander, excuse me, playing with Matthews, is that he was trying to get Laine going. And Laine was in that massive slump. And then next thing you know, he puts him on the line with Wheeler and Scheifele, and he's got no choice but to keep up or get embarrassed and look real, real bad.
Yeah.
So he's got 12 helpers in his last 10 games. So I like the concept of putting, like I said, Willie Nylander with Matthews, because Matthews got his motor going tonight. Willie's got to be there.
Well, he has. And for Laine, I think part of the deal with him, too, is, you know, he's wanted to play there, but it hasn't worked in the past. I thought the last time I did games in Winnipeg would have been early February, and he had not quite scored yet. He had played a couple decent games, but he just didn't look right. Last night, he carried the puck. He was aggressive with it. He made some really good plays. He hit a crossbar and two posts. He hit two posts on the same shift.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he should look, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he created a couple of plays. And, you know, Wheeler's had an amazing year. And Scheifele got off the schneid last night and had 3 points. There, the one thing, though, I don't know if you guys must have
the
seen
the stick check.
Oh, my God. I couldn't stop laughing, because when he lifted his stick, I don't know what he did. He just, like, flung it straight
launched
back
it.
Over his head.
Yeah, it was
like,
awesome.
If it was 5 feet higher, it would have gone over the netting.
I loved it. And then the weirdest part, though, Ray Scheifele gets his stick back and scores, like, 30 seconds later.
And then spends, as the horn's going off, he's just scored, and he's arguing with the ref still. I said during the game, that's the time the ref says, hey, buddy, you just scored. Zip it. We'll talk about this later.
Or hang on to your stick a little tighter.
All I could think about when I saw that is Chara could do that to somebody's body if he wanted to. All I could think about is if he wanted to, he could grab somebody, and that would be a body going over if he really wanted
like a
bale
of hay.
To. Like, that's how strong he is. Strong man.
But Noodles, just think, like, so he's obviously going to, you know, to interfere with where Shifley is and make him uncomfortable or whatever. And the old gag we used to do at practice, go up to somebody and whack their stick, it would fall out of their hands. We'd all laugh because the guy'd have to go pick it up. But so he's going to do it with enough force that he wants to throw him off balance. But how much force was there? Like, to you rip it out of his hands, and then, I mean, it was like a rocket. It went way up
in there. That was awesome.
It was so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Ray's in town calling the game tonight. Leafs Flyers, you can watch it on TSN 4. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. The Habs, they lost last night, and they are fighting for their lives. You know, they are currently tied with 81 points with Columbus. They're two back of Carolina. Those teams have games in hand, though. Pittsburgh's gone. They won again. They're gone.
Yeah.
So it's basically Carolina, Columbus, and Montreal fighting for the two wildcard spots. And Montreal, they're having a tough time generating any offense. And, you know, it's never a wise idea to track Montreal Twitter after a loss and when the team starts to struggle. But I'm sensing a lot of panic out of that city. What's your read on what's up with the Habs right now?
Well, offensively, they've dried up. I mean, I think they've got 11 goals in their last five games. And, you know, there's always a lot of fuss around Jonathan Drouin. He's not provided anything. He had one big game. I think he had four assists against Detroit in that 8-1 game. And I think that's the only points he's had going back to like February 22nd.
100%. It's like 14 games.
Yeah, it's like it's crazy. And so they don't have enough offense that somebody like that can take a big nap. And so the goals are going to be tough for them. But it's funny, you know, once, you know, you have your expectation at the start of the year, but you can never go back. And so I think nobody really felt Montreal was going to be a playoff team. Maybe they felt they were going to be around the, you know, around the fight, which is where they are. But now it seems disappointing because they were, you know, they were in a good spot and now they've tailed off. I kind of think this is just where they are. They've had an excellent year. They've changed the way they play. They've made some really good strides. They have some really good young players coming, in particular Ryan Poehling, who's at St. Cloud State. And then they got that defenseman from the Worlds, Romanoff, the young guy, who I think is going to be really good. But among their players, those are a couple that they have in their pipeline. And to me, it seems more positive than last year. It's not dead yet.
Mm-mm.
But, yeah. Man, they've got to find a way to score, and I just don't know that they will.
I want to see what Carolina does down the stretch. I'm not buying the Mrazek / McElhinney. You know, McElhinney's had you look at his numbers, they're Vezina-like. Like Vezina-like. That's not, and it's because, I mean, the team's played great, but this Carolina team, this is playoff hockey. And I don't know if they're battle-tested. I mean, Justin Williams is.
Well, they got Columbus tonight, don't they?
Yeah, there's some great games out there, but I'd like to see. Like Columbus, they're all, those teams, I call them on life support. And we'll see what they're made of in these last 10, 11, 12 games. That's why I think the hockey's great right now. Even in the West, there's three or four teams battling for that last spot.
Yeah.
And to me, like, who's going to step up and grab it? I know there's teams at the top that are licking their chops going, hey, whoever's in there, we're going to rinse. But you just, I always reserve judgment because a team that gets hot in those last 6, 7 games and they get on a roll, they can do some damage. Because they feel they've been playing playoff hockey for a month or 6 weeks or 2 months. So, you know, Carolina, I'm on the fence with. I think Columbus will make it. I just think there's too much talent, but the goaltender has to step up. Like, he hasn't been good enough.
Well, the Habs, though, were what?
And the Habs are right there. I still
2 weeks ago, they were up 3-0 in the first period and a point behind the Leafs if they hold on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now they've just, it's all gone dry on them.
I think Columbus and Carolina are going to be the two teams that get in. If I'm going to pick two of the three, Carolina just, they've kind of played the same way all the time. They've really had a pretty consistent season. And I just think Montreal's lack of offense is going to catch them. Their power play couldn't be worse.
Yeah, that's the thing that'll bite them.
I mean, man, once in a while, a power play goal almost by accident would be nice.
Yeah.
But their power play is, I think they're 2 for 38 or something or other. It's just,
yeah, it's 12%.
I know you were working the Jets game last night, so I don't know if you got a chance to see it. But yeah, Claude Julien last night at the end of that game was hot. one of the media members said, well, what did you, and it was the way that they lost, too. It was 3 minutes left to go in the hockey game, right? They get into overtime. They catch at least a point. They're sitting in one of the spots right now when it comes to the basement spot for the wild card. And so Julian was just there. He's like, what did you see? The guy was like, so what happened on that last play? And he goes, you saw it. He goes, I'm not going to describe it to you. He goes, you saw it with your own eyes. And then Andrew Shaw called out his teammates after that game, too. And I swear, we were talking, Craig was on the show on SportsCenter last night, and Craig believes 100% that finger of blame was pointed at Jonathan Drouin, who had made a real soft play that led to the 2-on-1, and Barzal with a beautiful pass. It was pretty to Anders Lee, but that
well,
one.
Well, now I think we've seen players around, like you can, this is tension time, right? And so guys have
100%.
Called out their teammates in more than a couple cities, like Matthews has done it here and Anderson's done it here. You're talking about Shaw in Montreal. You can go around where guys are like, man, this isn't acceptable. It's not good enough. And like guys are feeling the heat. And I guess so. I mean, there's not much time left.
Well, it'll be a fun game tonight. Again, with the St. Pat's Unis coming out, I would think the Leafs are ready to pounce considering Philly, again, they played last night. And the Leafs, it hasn't been fun here in Toronto for them for the past 3 or 4 days. They're coming off a couple of poor outings. And they, you know, Boston's opened the door. The Bruins have lost 3 in a row. The door's open. You got a game in hand. You're in Ottawa tomorrow night. There's no excuse for leaving the weekend with anything short of 4 points. So we'll see what happens tonight. We'll catch you on TSN4, and we'll do it again Monday at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, Dutch. Good luck with the rest of the show, would you?
Thanks, pal. Yeah, okay. It'll be fine.
Oh, it'll be good.
Don't you worry about it. It's called Over Dutch.
Yeah,
Over Dutch. On TSN 1050, bro.
There's Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.